Good evening, listeners. It is July 17, 2018. You are now tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett. I'm your announcer, and I will turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Terry. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty well. Had a pretty good week. We've been busy. Our Bible school went great, by the way.
Oh, good.
We had a great Bible school last week. I'll get into that in a minute. I do want to welcome you to the show. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are at 209 East Water Street. Our phone number is 740-494-2222, and you can reach us on the web at prospectccf.com. Our service times are, we have Bible study on Sunday morning at 9:30. Worship hour is 10:30. We have an evening service and youth group at 6:30. And we have various midweek Bible study prayer times on Wednesday also. And we're going to be getting into the fall, and we'll be kicking off Team Kid again with all the kids that come in. And we do that every Thursday from 6:30 to 8:30. Or 8 o'clock. So anyway, going to be a busy time this fall. You know, we just finished Bible school. What a great time that was.
I seen your photos looked awesome.
Oh, yeah. We had.
Did you guys have a big turn? Looked like you had a big turnout.
We had about 65 kids in Bible school.
And
of course, you know, the church is in Prospect. We come together and work together for that. You know, it's really great to come together and be able to do that. And several young people probably heard about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for them for the first time. What a blessing that was. And just a lot of, it was really a good time. I'll tell you one thing that I learned, though, is that I have never done puppets before. And I was the character Ranger Red.
Yeah.
And my Ranger Red puppet was a full puppet. And I bet he weighed about 3.5 pounds. You know what? When you hold those puppets up, your arm gets tired. And I mean, I never really thought about that before. And Ranger Red took a couple naps up there on the puppet stage, and because I had to lay my arm, you know, he was getting tired. But we had a great time, and of course, the program was Bruce the Moose, and we just had a really good time with it. Good turnout, a lot of adult help from several different churches. We even had help from a church in Delaware. Church of Christ of Christian Union on Bell Avenue, one of the fellows there came in, and they didn't have a program this year, so he came and helped with our program, and that was great. It just really good time.
It goes a lot better when you get a lot more participation, you know what I mean?
Like
when you,
oh, it really does.
I mean, it just flows so, you know.
I really felt kind of burdened for everyone putting it together this year. It was a really labor-intensive setup this year. A lot of stage stuff, a lot of props, a lot of, we had tents and a campfire and, you know, a lot of different stages, and it just was really a lot. And then my wife always does the meals and for the church, and she's been doing the free lunch during the day for the kids in town. And then she was doing another meal for all the workers and their kids that were coming straight from work because it was an evening. So she did that meal. And then she prepared the snacks for all the kids. For Bible school, so she was cranking up for about 5 or 6 days there. She was ready for a break, I think. But you know, it was wonderful. We had a really good time, yeah. And it was
now,
a real
now.
Blessing.
Where is that though? Where's the 65? Is that good? Is that average? I mean,
you know, I'll be honest with you. When you're dealing with a village in a town like Prospect, it depends on the cycle of kids and their ages. How much, you know, it fluctuates all the time. So we have had as high as 90 to 100 before, but 65 is a real good number. Well, and another thing that affects it is when, how many of those older grades you have. And we only went through, we went through kids going into sixth this year. But here's the other thing that those numbers don't show is that we had junior high or middle school and high school kids helping out, and we had probably another total of 15 of those that were there working with the kids and leading and helping and being you know, helping out the different leaders in each department. So we usually, in each stage of it, we had like 5 different groups. We at least had 2 or 3 young people helping.
You know, I often wonder, though, about the different... How are the themes chosen? Do you guys, like, have a... I mean, do you guys
well, actually,
choose the themes, or who chooses the themes for, you
You can choose the theme, but it's that would be really tough. There's several groups out there. There's a company called Group that does a lot of these, puts these together. Lifeway does a lot. This year, the program Moose on the Loose was done by RBP, Regular Baptist Press, did that one. But and they print this stuff, and they have all these put together, and then churches go out and shop for them. Okay. And like, for instance, like ours was done by Regular Baptist Press, but I know several churches that aren't Baptist that used it. And, you know, just like Group and Lifeway, you know, churches from different denominations will, and actually it's kind of up to the, we have four churches in Prospect that rotate each year who does it. So it's up to that key group to decide what program they're going to use. And we chose this one.
Okay.
And so, you know, a lot of it has to do with what looks good to us, and cost is always a factor too. Because some is more cost effective. One thing that's really helpful, though, is that a lot of times there's churches out there that either a year prior or that year have done this program, and they got all their props left. Now, we weren't able to take advantage of that this year. But I know one year there was I believe it was a Lutheran church here in Marion several years back that did the same Bible school we did that was more of a Roman-type theme. And, man, they had props that would blow your mind, that they just brought them all to us. And we also keep a lot of stuff. Lutheran Church in town in Prospect has a big storage area in their church that we keep a lot of stuff there. We keep a lot of stuff at our church. So there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that people bring in. Our puppets, certainly. Jeannie Park has several puppets that she's let us use, and a fellow in the church, Tim Steele, has a lot, so they bring the puppets in. Those are expensive. But, you know, anyway, so it all works together. It's that thing working hand in hand.
Yeah.
It's in everything we do. You know, I was a little bewildered tonight on the way in to do the show. I just trying to decide which focus and which direction we should go tonight. You know, there's so much going on, and yet there's nothing going on, if that makes any sense. There's no huge news stories right now, other than, I'm not going to talk about the Russia visit. There's been enough talked about that on the news on both sides of that one. But there's a lot of stuff out there that I think that we can begin to plug ourselves into that we need to be thinking about. Do you realize, Jerry, that school starts in a month?
I was looking at the calendar.
Isn't that crazy?
I just realized that. Yeah.
I have not stopped to catch my breath since school was out.
Wow.
And
it's almost time to go back already.
It's
yeah.
almost time for all the kids to go back and things to get busy again that way, and the programs are involved in that. And you know, with kids getting ready to go back to school, we got to think about the school year. I think, and I think we really do. And it's not too early to think about it. Start beginning to plan. I know that we have a first part of August. I think it's on the 9th. At Elgin, we have a school supply giveaway. See, and that's another thing where several of the churches get together. We do in Prospect, and then we get the United Methodist in LaRue, and I'm trying to think who else is involved.
When's that normally?
The 9th, I believe, and it's at the school, I think, is this one this year, is the 9th.
Okay.
But what we do is we bring in all the school supplies kids need. I mean, we have the list, and there's stacks, and what we do is we set up outside of the school if it's dry, inside if it's not. And we have tables with all the school supplies on it that the kids need for the year, and then the parents come in, and they get the first table has the list for whatever grade their child's in all the way through high school, and they just go down and they get, well, if you need highlighters, if you need notebooks, pencils, glue, you know, whatever is on the list, we give those to them. And it's a huge help, I think, to parents, because let's face it, a lot of people are really tight right now. I mean, we all are. I think you're probably tight sometimes.
Sure.
I know I am.
Sure.
But anything we can do that way to help is, but, you know, parents keep that in mind. Be looking for those things. I know that there will be something out on the school websites and whatnot about it, but the thing is that parents need to remember, this is the day we need to be there. Because you shoot yourself in the foot otherwise. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think, oh, you know, I was going to do that and forgot about it. Well, it may save you $40 or so. Yeah. You don't know. Yeah. And
well, I was going to say, then do you ever get like a lot of calls like people, hey, are you guys still doing that? You know, because we missed
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're angry. Oh, yeah. They're angry because you're not doing, you know.
Within, yeah. Yeah, they find out.
Even though you announce it, you know.
Weeks, over and over and over again. Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know.
And any time that you're in any type of program and do that kind of, we at Christmas time, our church personally takes care of, with people in town help and people, sure. Different groups come in. But our church does about 65 kids a year for Christmas. And, you know, we'll announce it and we'll call people. And then it's invariably the calls come in. Hey, did you guys already do that? Yes, we did it. Well, I've got, you know, you think, well, you know, it's tough. But, you know, let's be a little proactive and take some personal responsibility to getting, if someone's going to help you, at least step up and do it. Mm. And you know, even if it's a situation where you don't have a car, you can't get there or whatever, there's someone willing to pick you up and take you.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way that is. But, you know, it's kind of like kids coming to Sunday school at church, you know, and tell, well, my kids don't have any way to get there. Well, how about you make a phone call? Anybody would come and get them if you did, right? But we just got to be more proactive that way. And, you know, we've got a lot of things to start planning and thinking about what our kids are going to do this year. What classes are they taking? How are you going to prepare them for that? What are you going to do with the kids this fall? Have you thought about who their friends are and tried to look through some of that stuff? You know,
I think the big thing too is getting them in the right mindset to go back to school. Because of course they'll still be in that, oh, I can sleep till 10 o'clock. You know what I mean? You have to be proactive as a parent and say, look, you know, it's 3 weeks before school. We're going to implement a bedtime now, you know, or whatever. And
well, a lot of them don't end up implement bedtimes anyway.
Right.
But you know that you're right. And say, you know, we're going to start getting up at a certain time in the morning, or you need to get up.
Ritual. You know, we need to develop a ritual or something, you know. And yeah.
It's so easy for parents to not want to deal with it and take off to work in the morning. The kids get up whenever they want. And
make your own breakfast.
You know, but to get them back in that schedule. And then, you know, some of the programs, start thinking of talking to your kids about, what do I want to plug into this year? You know, we have Fellowship of Christian Athletes at school. There's a lot of different clubs. There's I think we have a robotics club at the school, and there's video club. There are a lot of different things. And, you know, what do these kids want to do? Is there something you'd like to get into this year? You know, my grandson, I found out the other day, everybody's been hammering him to play football. And he played his freshman year, and he just doesn't want to play. I mean, he loves to play, but not so much that he wants to play. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
And he decided the other day he's going to golf. Oh. Well, nobody ever thinks about that. Well, either you're going to play football, basketball, baseball, you know, or wrestle. But, you know, no one thinks there's other things out there. You know, I know at Elgin, they have a great bowling team and a swim team. You know, those are all great things. I think golf's great. It's a good thing to get into.
Yeah.
And I can see my grandson playing golf. He has a tendency to be a little bit Mr. GQ anyway, you know. And I can see him. I think he'd want to play golf just for what they wear.
yes. The polo shirts.
Oh, yeah. Just looking good.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But, you know, my nephew did that.
Yeah.
He loved it. He played basketball for a long time. 1 year he just didn't want to do anymore. Played golf and...
Well, you know, my daughter graduated with from Buckeye Valley with Ben Curtis.
Oh.
And, you know, Ben Curtis, Buckeye Valley was just a small farm school at the time. And
won the British Open.
Won the British Open. That was kind of his claim to fame and his last hurrah.
Yeah.
But because we haven't heard much from him.
2003 maybe won the...
Yeah. But you know what? He won the British Open.
Lifetime exemption.
Yeah. Lifetime exemption, and just what a wonder. I mean, that's something to...
Oh, yeah. I mean, just...
I mean, that puts you in as a golf pro at about any... place you want to be.
Absolutely, yeah. So, your name's in the record books no matter what.
But, you know, there's a lot of things out there. Start finding out who your kids' teachers are. And we find out, you know, try to build a rapport with them. Learn that, you know, they've got it tough, too. They're trying to get through the day. And, you know, most of your school teachers have kids in school, too. And they've got a lot of those same problems. But, you know, just... you know, I think that if we just try to organize our lives a little bit more, start planning on, you know, everyone always says, you know, I'd love to get my family in church. You know how many people tell me, Terry, you know, we need to start going to church. It would be good for our family. Okay, you recognize that. Now let's give her a whirl. You know, I mean, I've never met anyone that started going to church that didn't enjoy coming. For some reason, you find it's someplace you don't think you have to be.
Well,
so it's easy to not come.
It's that mindset you talked about a couple of weeks ago. You said where, you know, people almost see it as like it's a hassle, or, you know, I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but like it was a chore, you know, that we have to, you know.
And I think a lot of times if the church is a family like it's supposed to be, honestly, I mean, that's what we are. You know, we're part of the family of God. If we're acting as a family as we should, it should be someplace you want to be. And then the church should be reaching out to its members. I know, you know, I'm busy. I'm in a smaller church, and we're not a huge congregation, but I'm busy all the time. I'm going to give you an example. On Sunday morning, early, about 8:30, a man in the community passed away. And so I was at their house before church. And as soon as church was over, I left there. I came to church. As soon as the service was over, I had two young people that I was counseling for marriage for another hour. So you know, you're involved. You're doing different things all the time. Tomorrow morning, I'll be at Children's Hospital at 8:30 in the morning for an operation. And that's what we should be doing, those things. That's what the church does. Right now, my wife's at home baking lasagna for someone that needs it. To take to a family, and as the members of the church get together and do those things, we're supposed to be there for each other. When we recognize someone has an issue, I recently had a family in the church that was having a real struggle that was not of their own doing, and I know as our church we're very faithful for people when they recognize that, to come together with the proper group of people and say, what can we do to help this family out without making them feel bad that we're helping them out. Does that make sense? Because a lot of people don't want people to know they're having a trouble,
right?
And that they don't want to ask for anything, and they're the ones that are usually doing the giving. And then when they have problems, you know, they, what do I do? So we try to be that that church, and there's, you know, if we do what we should do as a church, we're not going to have as many people that are hurting as deeply and as long in the church as they could be. Does that make any sense? Because someone's coming to their aid. And it amazes me that we get so wrapped up in politics and all the things that go on with it. You know, Jesus was a guarantee and is a guarantee. And we put our faith in people that usually can't get anything accomplished. And we spend so much of our time getting wrapped up in it, like they're going to be the next knight in shining armor that's going to come in, or Joan of Arc, or someone, you know. And quite frankly, if you really look at what gets done, it's very little. And it's very little because there's somebody's always owning somebody, you know, or beholden to somebody. And it makes it very hard to be independent and do what you can do without that. I applaud politicians that have their heart in it and do it because they truly want to help. But it makes it very difficult in our political climate for that to go very far. But it amazes me how many people around the drinking fountain will talk about these things. We just had a conversation a while ago, but yet, honestly, the Lord is where our help is. And that's where we're going to get the greatest bang for our buck. But yet people don't want to, I don't know if I want to do that. They might make me do something. I might have to change this. I might have to change that. And then once again, of course, we go back to that personal responsibility. You know, I have to try to tell people, Do you know that God's not going to want you to change anything that you don't want to change? Well, I mean, God's not going to change anything in you that you don't want to change. He's not going to, if you have a desire to live any way you want, I guess that's what you're going to do. The only time you're going to change what you're doing is if God puts the desire in your heart and you desire to do it and do it. So it's not like one day you're going to join the church and the next day all of a sudden everyone's going to change all these things you do. You know, that's entirely up to you. And it's between you and God what you change and what you don't change. You know what I mean? The church doesn't have a, you know, it's not like the church of the medieval times where they were going to come beat on your door and if check out and see what you were eating and what you were doing and if you had to pay, you know, some kind of penance for what you were. That doesn't happen today. But, you know, people almost act like they're afraid of it to a point at times, I think a little bit. You know, it's kind of interesting. I was telling a story the other day on Sunday morning. Several years ago, a dear friend of mine, Mike Tomaso, passed away several months back. Dear friend, he had cancer. And he was in the numismatic business his whole life. Coins, collector coins, gold. So that's what he did his entire life. And his dad did it too. And that's where he got on to doing it. And his dad was running an ad in the Columbus Dispatch years ago. Probably back in the late 70s maybe. That he did gold and bought gold and silver and did numismatic stuff. This guy gives him a call, and he says, "Hey, I'm a contractor in German Village." Now, if you remember at that time, German Village had been a slum for years, a really low-income rental slum area, and some developers got the bright idea, which was a very bright idea, to let's convert this into a bedroom community for downtown. And all of a sudden, you know, they were taking these $15,000 great big brick Victorians and making them worth like $300,000 and cutting them up into four, you know, mini lofts and whatnot, you know, like they did, like there. And, of course, it was successful. But at that time is when this was taking place. And this contractor called him, and he was ripping out some walls. And as he's ripping out walls, he finds several jars hidden in the wall of silver and gold coins and paper money and just a fortune of stuff. And he calls him and says, "Hey, can you come and look at this stuff?" And when I was told that story, the first thing that struck me was I thought of those people that probably lived there, and some of them many times barely had enough money to feed their children, if they even had it. Didn't have clothes, you know, they were poor, dirt poor people. And a lot of this was in a time even before there were social programs to help them out. And I'm thinking, within an arm's reach, Terry, was a fortune behind the wall. Isn't that unbelievable? In that house, in those very houses, or in that very house. And I thought to myself, is that way with God? Is that way? He's standing right there. He's always within an arm's reach. And all we got to do is reach out and say, okay. And we can save ourselves so much grief, so much uncertainty, so much pain. You know, he's there. He wants to give you a better life. He wants to show you that he has a plan for your life. He wants to show you that he loves you, that he cares for you, that you know, there's hope, that even when you're alone, you're not alone. You know, he's there. He wants to direct you in the right way. But with all that right there, people are remaining poor and unfed. I'm talking about unfed psychologically, spiritually, physically. And they're saying, what do I do? What do I do? And they're running around in a room. And right there behind the wall is the fortune. And it's hard for me sometimes. It's a challenge for me because I want people to understand this. But it's very hard as a pastor sometimes when you know the truth and you've seen lives change and you've seen these things happen and people just, they'll listen to you, you go, yeah, okay, but that's not for me, or yeah, maybe them, but that's not me. I don't buy that. just slow down. I mean, what's it going to hurt? What does it hurt for someone to try? Say, you know what? I've done everything else. Why not try Jesus? Why not start taking my family to church and see if there's a change? I'm talking to a friend of mine, Frank Robinson, yesterday. He was talking about years ago he was in a church one time. And this lady came forward, and she was just a severe broken down alcoholic to the point that her whole body was just, you've seen what alcohol can ravage people. And she gave her life to Christ that night, and he was gone for a couple months after that. I forget where Frank said he had to be at, but he wasn't there. And he came back a couple weeks after he got back. And this lady came up and says, "Hi, Frank, how are you?" And because she had met him that night. And he said, "I'm fine. And what? I'm sorry, I don't remember, what's your name?" And she said, "I'm whatever this lady was." That he said, "Steve," he said, "in 2 months' time, it wasn't the same person." Said she had color back. She'd put on weight. She looked alive. Her eyes looked normal. He said this wasn't the same person. And he said she stayed that way. I mean, God took her and changed her life because she was willing to step up and say, "God, here's my life. I want you to change it." And it's so sad to see where people are. I personally know many people today that are addicted to some of the worst stuff out there, heroin, meth. I know them. And I talk to them and I see them. And I'll try to encourage them or you know, whatnot. And you say, you know, what do you do for these people? Because you see what's going on in our society and what it's become, and they can't seem to shake it. It's daily. It's everywhere. There's only one answer, as far as I'm concerned, and that's to give it to God. You know, there's a program and I'm going to have to get the name so you'll know what it is. And I hate to bring up something and not know the name of it. But it starts in Grove City. It's a rehab program. And when you go into this thing, you have to be clean. So you have to have at least gone through a withdrawal period of 2-3 days, whatever it takes you to get to where you're not going to need hospitalization. Right. When you go in, you're in for a minimum of a year, and you should be there for 2. And they take you, and they slowly start. It's a long-term program where they teach you the Word of God along every day with everything else. You go out and work. You work jobs with them during the day. You have different points you've got to meet throughout this program. And gradually what they do over time is they open up a banking type thing for you, and you start saving some of your own money from the jobs you're doing, and then you start plugging in long term and doing more work. And at the end of it, what they try to do is not just get you clean, but walk you through a lifestyle change over a year or two. Doesn't cost anything to go into. And if people stick with the program, they come out the other end and usually end up staying there to some extent and helping with others and doing things of that nature. But the problem is that so many of these programs are 30 days you're in and out, 20 days you're in and out. Well, no one has a chance to change a lifestyle in that period. And then they come back to the same friends. You know, you've got to break that pattern somehow. And what they do in this case, they, I think it starts in Grove City and they end up going, it's way down in southern Ohio somewhere. You're separated from everyone that you have contact with that's going to be, "Hey, I'll meet you down on the corner and take care of you" type thing. "I'll give you a fix." You know, and that happens so easy. But those things are out there if we look for them. And if we truly want them, you know, it's an opportunity and it's an option. You know, begin to let God be that go-to person in your life and not the world or someone that's going to lead you down the wrong path. I see too many people dying around me that I know, and I see these young people, and it's horrible. You don't get it. You don't get what's so negative in society that's happening. But a lot of it, I started out the show, I was talking about parents thinking about their kids and what's going on in school and what's coming up. Mom and Dad, I got to tell you something, or Grandma and Grandpa or foster parent, whatever you're doing. By the way, I applaud you foster parents out there that truly love these kids. What an amazing role that is.
Well, Grandmas and Grandpas, too. I mean...
Oh, absolutely. That's tough. There's a lot of...
you've already raised your kid, you know, and now here you are.
A dear friend of mine is raising her grandkids right now, and she's raising four of them, and she's my age.
God bless her.
And not in the best physical health herself. And the youngest is 4, and the oldest is 16.
Oh, man.
And, yeah. And it's hard, and it takes its physical toll. But she loves them dearly, and she's doing the best she can with them. But you know what I'm saying is, this is the whole point about being proactive. You know, I hate to go back to this. You guys are going to think I'm an old fogey, if you can even remember. You know, you look at the old shows like Leave It to Beaver, Fathers Knows Best, some of those shows, and there were others out there. Ozzie and Harriet. Now I'm going back further even. But my point is, what they were showing on there was what a normal family can look like. You think, well, those days are long gone by. Actually, they're not. There's a lot of families that still look like that to a point. Now, we're a different society today. A lot of modern things they didn't have, and just interaction in general is different. But as far as the basic principles of love and respect, planning your family, planning your activities, being responsible to make sure that your kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing, being there for them when they need help with something. Look, Mom and Dad, if you don't understand their schoolwork today, find someone that can help you. You know, tutors are available. They're out there. The school's more than... If you're willing to put out the effort, I promise you the school's going to be more than willing to help you help facilitate something to help your child. But it's got to be a two-way street. And, you know, believe me, the teachers are spinning their heads as, what are we going to do? We got these kids that, A, they don't want to listen in class, and B, parents don't care at home. And if I call parents, I'm getting cussed out. What do we do with these kids? And if we love them as we truly do, we've got to decide that, okay, as disorganized as my life is, I've got to decide that today I start a game plan. And, you know, you can start a typical game plan. Monday morning, you know, the kids got to have their clothes ready for school in the morning. You got all weekend to plan on what they're going to do for lunch or what they're going to wear. All weekend, you know, plan it. You know, plan something out. Make sure they have clothes for every day of the week, whatever they're going to do. Know what their activities are that week. If you can't get them there, see if somebody can get them there or what you can do. Weekend comes up, Saturday morning, yeah, give them a break. Let them sleep till 10 o'clock in the morning and get them out of bed. And have a list of chores they have to do, or you're going to take the phone away, or you're going to take certain time away from their electronics, or whatever it is, limit that electronic time. Say, you know what, you've been on it long enough, get off of it, you're going to do something different right now. Find something we're going to do as a family. People say, oh, you got to be kidding me, all we do is fight with each other. How are we going to spend family time? Try it. You know, make it something you're going to do anyway. Get up Sunday morning and say, guess what, kids? We're going to go to church. Oh, come on, I don't have church clothes. There's not a church. There better not be a church in Marion that cares whether you have church clothes or not. If they're worried about your church clothes, don't go there. Find another one. You understand what I mean?
You heard that, everybody.
Because that's not...
Say that again.
I said, if they're worried about your church clothes, don't go there. Find another one. You know...
This is coming from a pastor, so.
If what you're wearing and what you own isn't good enough to show up in church, somebody's got a problem, and it's not you. Yes, we like to dress as, everyone likes to have things they wear to go different places.
But a clean t-shirt is just the same as a...
Yeah. And a clean, you know, clean t-shirt, whatever, even if it's not that clean, you know, obviously you don't want to wear offensive stuff to clothes.
Right.
Beyond that,
right,
I'm saying, you know, I don't care if all you have is a pair of shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt. Works fine for me. If you come to our church, you're liable to see people wearing just about anything and everything from... I don't know, not very many people dress up to come to... I mean, as far as suit, the old
stuff. Right,
you know, I just... They don't. And I don't. Rarely will you ever see me in a suit. Most of my suits are reserved for weddings and funerals.
Okay.
And but I don't know. I just come with what you are, where you are, and but do it. But start that. You know, get up. Say, you know, we're all going to go. They might say you're crazy. I'm not going. I say, oh yes, you are, because either you're going to get up and go with me this morning, or I'm going to cut off your cell phone. That'd wake them up, wouldn't it? Now someone's going to come out. This is an old standard lie out there. It's been out there for years. If you force them to go, they won't. Baloney. I don't know of a parent out there that doesn't tell their kid, you're not missing ball practice, you're not missing this, you're not missing that, and they still play ball, and they still like it when they're adults. You know, that's, you know, don't let them play that game. Get them there. You know, look, it may not take, they may not want anything to do with it ever, but what if they do? What if they seem like they don't, and they turn 25 or 26 or 27 or 30 or 40 or 45 and remember all that stuff they learned and turn their life around and have a wonderful life? You know, you don't know that. It could be after you die. It's not the point of when, it's the point that it happens. And it's also the point that they're given the opportunity and not it taken from them. I also hear parents say, I don't want to force religion on my kids. No one's forcing anything on. I've never forced religion on anyone in my life. I teach them and show them, and they have the opportunity that's there. The truth of the matter is, if you don't show your kids that side of things and they only learn the other side, what do you think are the chances of them being on the side of things that you would desire them to be if they never have an opportunity to learn it, hear it, or see it? And I have to tell you this, too. I know there's parents going to argue with me because they know of situations where it was different. And, of course, there are. You're going to find a good group of kids for your kids to be around at church, typically. Not that all kids aren't good, but you're going to find a group of kids that, A, their parents usually know where they're at. B, you're going to be safe sending your kids home with them overnight. You know, just those situations in general. You know, I just was at the... I was just at the courthouse this morning, and out front were a huge group of kids getting ready to leave on for summer camp. I don't know what camp it was, but they all had Survivor-type T-shirts on, and they were high school kids. And what a good-looking group of kids. They were excited, packed up, ready to go, and I knew a couple of them that I just knew. Happen to know. I didn't know when I was coming out, I saw them. And they're good kids, and they got good families. What parent doesn't want their kids around decent families? You know, I don't want to hear they think they're better than we are. I don't want to hear it, because that doesn't fly. I know it doesn't fly in my church, because one thing about our church also is we do not have an income grade in the church that you must meet. You know, we've got people in our church that are probably... I don't know people's incomes because I don't want to know. I don't get involved in that end of the church, but I know we have people in our church that are pretty well middle class, maybe a few upper middle, maybe. But then we've got people in our church that barely scrape by from week to week and month to month, and some that don't scrape by. And you know what? We interact. You'll see two of, I mean, they're friends. They care. They, you know, it's not the issue. And like, once again, I'll say this again. If you're in a church where that is the issue, get out of it. If they're beating you over the head for money all the time, get out of it. You know, if you're doing what you should do, you're going to give what you can and to the Lord. You know, in the Bible, it talks about the widow's mite. You know, remember that parable?
A little bit of it, I think.
Yeah, well, there were people throwing in their large things of coins into these brass containers. Everyone could hear their coins jingling, you know, look what I'm giving. And this one lady puts in a widow's mite, which is the smallest denomination of coin at that time.
Okay.
And the thing is, she gave all that she had. That was the most important thing, was it wasn't how much she had to give, it was that it came from the right place in her heart. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't celebrate people that have a lot of money that come to your church because they have a lot of money. The worst thing you can ever do is to grade people by their income or their status level, you know, or who they are in the community. And that happens way too often. And it should never happen in the church. You know, God made us all as equal as he can make it. Black, white, yellow, brown, you know, it doesn't matter. He made us all the same. And, you know, the truth is, once again, if you go to the church and you get involved, you're going to find that that stuff doesn't matter to most people. You're not going to see, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot less racism and things of that nature in the church than there is out of the church. I've lived in both worlds. I see it. And in the church now, you know, I'll be honest with you, in our church, I wish there was a better balance, racial balance in our church, but it's because of our demographics. It's not because no one's welcomed. You know what I mean? Certainly not with us. But, you know, demographics make a big difference, too. If there's no one Hispanic within a 20-mile radius of your church, what's the chance of having Hispanic people in your church? Do we welcome Hispanic people? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, anyone. We have a lady in our church that that signs, and that's her ministry. And if someone comes that is deaf, she signs for them. She signed our entire Bible school this week. She signed all the programs. She signed the songs. All the kids, all the songs this week learned the sign to them so that they could do signing. And learn that, and that was something they learned all week long. What a neat thing that was. But, you know, church is something that we all need. And why people, I got to wrap up. We're running out of time. But here's the thing. Start yourself on a plan of life. You know what? You know the old saying, we've talked about it in here before. Most people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. And when you fail to plan, you fail. So you got to start out a plan, even if it's little things. And you got to stick with it. That's a huge one, too, is perseverance, sticking with it. Because, oh, I tried it for a month, but it didn't work. We're going back to mayhem again. And people do that, too. But, you know, as a pastor, I love people. And that's because Christ loved me. And I want other people to learn to love people. We need to quit fighting about political parties and about neighbors. That's as bad as anything. You know, it's amazing. We talk about all these things we shouldn't do, and then you watch all of our news media, all of it. I don't care what side you're on, what channel you're on. You watch all of it, and you see nothing but name-calling and badgering and slamming and this and back and forth. And I'm thinking, what in the world are we teaching our society? Where's the love, folks? Where's the care and where's the love? Where's the tolerance of other opinions besides our own? You know, and we just need to learn to love more. And that love comes from the church. It truly does. Hey, good to have you guys on the show tonight, out there listening in listening land. This will be replayed, by the way, tomorrow at 3:15 and Sunday morning at 8:15. Is that right? Sunday morning, 8:15. So come and see us at Community Christian Fellowship, 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Once again, phone number 740-494-2222. Give us a call. If you'd like me to call you or talk to you anytime personally about anything, prayer requests, whatever, call the church and let me know. I'd be glad to get a hold of you. God bless all of you guys. And
Give that school supply.
Yeah, that school supply information, we'll get it out there. On next show, we have time.
Okay.
Next show, I'll give you an exact time.
Okay.
So remind me and I'll do that. Okay. So if all anybody right. wants to know, we'll get those out there.
We'll definitely be, I mean.
You know, oh, that's an absolute. Okay. That's every year.
Okay.
Right. That's a given.
Okay.
So, hey, God bless you guys. Have a great week.
Hey, and before we go, I just wanted to say to my dad, today's my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. 69 today.
69. Well, yes. Happy birthday.
Yes, he's celebrating good today, so.
I'll bet. 1 year away from 70.
Yes, yes.
Take care.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio.